Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate that so much, and appreciate you drawing attention to my Route 44. However, they did forget to send the fries, so it is good to see you here this morning. If you have your Bible, would you open to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our study of the Beatitudes this morning? I have enjoyed this study. I've enjoyed reminding all the ways that God wants to bless us and the way he calls us to be blessed. And it's not because of what we do. It's because of who we are in him that he blesses us. And so before we get started with the sermon, go ahead and find chapter 5 of Matthew. I want to just draw attention to a couple of things. First of all, if you look on the back of your order of service, I saw her come in. Patricia Mayfield. I want to recognize Miss Patricia. She was up in the baptistry. Actually, she wasn't in the baptistry this morning. That was last time when she dropped her phone that she actually went in the baptistry. But this morning up helping those boys as they were getting ready. But if you see there on your order of service, this week was 20 years of service to Central Baptist Church as our receptionist. Would you join me in saying thank you to Patricia? And if she ever gets out of line, just let me know. We'll deal with it. All right. But thank you so much for your ministry to the Lord and to his church. We're blessed. All right. Also, I want to draw attention to, we've got a group of teenagers and adults that are going to be leaving the end of this week because this is fall break. And they're going to be going to Fort Worth on a mission trip. So if you are part of that team, would you stand up right now? Just right where you are. They are going to be going and doing a Judgment House type event in Fort Worth, sharing the gospel in a city park. Is that right? My understanding. And then they will be helping lead in worship next Sunday morning at a church there in Fort Worth. And Brother Ty will be preaching Sunday morning. So we are looking forward to hearing a report. Don't blow it. That's all I got to say. All right. But if you were standing close to them, would you stand up and just put a hand on somebody's shoulder? And we're going to pray and just commission them as they go out as missionaries from Central Baptist Church and go represent us, taking part in this Judgment House and be sharing the gospel in a very open setting in a public park. And we want to pray for them that God would use them in a mighty way this coming weekend. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful, Lord, for young people who take a portion of their week off from school. Lord, not just to go and play, but Father, they'll have a good time. But Father, to go and to commit to serve you and to be used by you. Lord, for adults who are taking time away from their jobs so that they can go as chaperones and sponsors and participants, being part of the drama that will go on there in that park. And Father, I just pray that you would go before every presentation, Lord, as they share how life can change in a moment. And without Jesus, we don't have hope. So Father, I pray that you would use them over the weekend, next weekend. Lord, I pray that you would also use them as they lead in worship next Sunday morning in that church there in Fort Worth, that you would anoint them, Father, that you would be with Brother Ty and give him words to speak that are better than his. Lord, that you would give him the spirit of John the Baptist, Lord, that he would decrease so that Jesus could increase. And Father, I just pray that you would use each of them, Lord, from teenagers through adults, Lord, that you would use them in a mighty way. Thank you for letting them be missionaries from this church. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank y'all. And let's see, I think I've got one other announcement that I want to share with you, and that is related to our youth as well. If you happen to have been here Wednesday night, you know that we took action on hiring a new interim staff member. And it actually came out of a Sunday morning service when I had one of the teenagers came up to me and said, "I know who our next youth pastor needs to be." And I said, "Really? Who's that?" And he said, "Philip Carroll." I said, "Isn't he kind of old?" And what I have come to find out is Brother Philip is the oldest 16-year-old in town. And So Brother Philip Carroll will be coming on staff as our interim minister of youth, and he's also going to be helping with adult education, doing some outreach, but we're looking forward to him being part of the team, and he'll start here November the 3rd will be his first Sunday, so we are anxious for Brother Philip to be joining our team. So just wanted to know, I'm listening to you, okay? Gotcha. Okay, thank you. All right. It's a great day to be in God's house. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? The Beatitudes again. This is from the greatest sermon ever preached. As Jesus began, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Today's Beatitude. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful, Lord, once again, for the blessings that you pour out on us. Father, sometimes they are the unexpected blessings. Father, the blessing of being poor, Lord, having poverty in our spirit, because that brings us to the point that we see you. Father, for mourning over our sin, because you and your Holy Spirit bring comfort. Father, thank you for the blessing of meekness, which is truly strength under control. And Father, thank you for the blessing of hunger and thirsting for righteousness. So Father, we are grateful for this morning. Pray your blessing on your word this morning, that you would speak to our heart. Make us more like Jesus, because we've spent time in his word. And we pray all this in his name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. As we continue this series of the Beatitudes, if you look at the first three that we have already done, those really Beatitudes are things that had more of a negative tone to them. But today's Beatitude is one that takes a turn. Not that mourning or meekness or poverty are negative, but today we take a turn toward what we are supposed to be doing. What is it that drives us? Jesus uses a positive metaphor that we can relate to, because really the desire for food and water is some of the most powerful desires that we have in our life. I think most of us have forgotten to what it's like to be hungry. We have forgotten what it's like to be thirsty. When was the last time you were hungry? Somebody say, you know, it's been 2 hours since breakfast. I'm hungry now. I didn't get my Sonic order in. I'm hungry now. But it's been a long time since we have been hungry, when we have been starving, if we have ever been that point. Let me tell you my closest adventure, and this really is a minimal example. When I was in high school, we went on a mission trip to Belize. We went to Central America, and they decided they wanted to, well, we were going to be doing presentations at the state fair. They said, well, we've got a building, and it's got a roof, but it doesn't have any walls, so we need you boys to go out there in the jungle. We'll give you machetes. Nothing like giving a 16-year-old a machete and saying, we'll come back later. But that's what they did. They sent us out into the jungle, dropped us off, and gave us machetes. And they said, you need to cut these cahoon leaves. They're like palm branches. And what we'll do is we'll take those and use them to make the walls for the building. Because it's got a metal roof, but we need to close it in, because some of the things we would be doing is showing movies and all those kinds of things. They put us out there. I don't know whose plan it was, but they said, we'll drop you off about noon and we'll be back later. This is Central America. This is pretty far south, and it was in late May, early June. It was hot. And after they left us, We later on found out they got sidetracked. So they were gone several hours longer than they thought they would be. And they left us out there without any water. And so, you know, a bunch of teenage boys with machetes start, imaginations running wild. And we were convinced we were going to die. And we were thirsty. It wasn't, we weren't dying of thirst, but that was probably the thirstiest I have ever felt in my life. And it just mentally got to be worse and worse. And finally we did, we were out in the woods, out in the jungle, and we saw a truck go by with a tank behind it, a water tank behind it. And we saw it go down and it looked like it was dry. And then about 30 minutes later, it came back up and it was dripping water over the sides. And we went, there's a river down there. We know we're not supposed to drink anything, but we don't care at this point. So we walked down that road, went down that road, and when we got down there, we had heard all about the water in Central America. We just stuck our heads in and opened our mouths. I mean, it was the best tasting water I'd ever had in my life, as disgusting as it was. But we have forgotten what it's like to be hungry and thirsty. Well, when God tells us, when Jesus tells us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What exactly is it that he's saying? By way of introduction, I want you to hear that to hunger and thirst are the most basic of the necessities of physical life. Without food, without water, without something to drink, we don't have life. You don't continue without those things. But we know that in this passage, Jesus isn't focusing on the physical necessities. What he's doing is using an analogy. And this analogy that Jesus is using reveals to us that righteousness is required for spiritual life in the same way that food and water are necessary for physical life. And then that last phrase I put up there, it's not optional. It's not optional. Righteousness is our food. It is our drink. We have to have it if we are going to live spiritually. We have to have those things. And just by way of talking about water a little bit, did you know that our bodies are about 70% water? We are composed of about 70% water, and that it's contained in all the cells of our body. It's contained in our blood. It runs through our arteries and veins. It's in between our blood vessels. It's involved in everything that our body does. Water's a part of it. But 75% of Americans tend to be dehydrated to some degree. You know, we talk about how little water I drink sometimes, but boy, I make it up in coffee or Diet Dr. Pepper. But 75% of Americans tend to be have some degree of dehydration. Mild dehydration can slow down our metabolism, it says, one of the things I read, as much as 5%. And a lack of water is the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. And just a 2% drop in body water can trigger fuzzy, short-term memory, and even our vision. Without water, our bodies are going to suffer greatly. And the same thing's true of our spiritual condition if we don't have a proper intake of righteousness. So let's take a look at our condition. Let's see what our condition is based on this verse. Let me read just that scripture again in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So our condition, the word hunger, as I think I've already referred to, says that this is more than just a hunger pain. This is more than saying, well, I guess we ought to go get something because it's noon. You know, how often do we do that? We eat because the time of day, not because we're hungry. And so the hunger that he's talking here is starving. Being at the point that I've got to have something. You know something, if you get hungry enough, you will eat almost anything. If you have traveled the world, you would find that out. There are folks that eat all kinds of things because hunger is overtaking them. But not only is our hunger more than just having hunger pains, it's starving. Thirst means that we are painfully feeling the need for water. It's more than just a sip. It's parched and dehydrated to the point of pain. We are thirsting to death, is what the idea contained in this passage. So blessed are those who are starving. Blessed are those who are thirsting to death. And what are they hungry and thirsty for? Righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness is just the condition. Just the condition. Righteousness is the condition of being right with God. And we see that in all kinds of ways. Righteousness is part of that condition is a legal justification. When we are saved, when we ask Jesus into our heart, when Jakendrick was at camp and when Deacon was in my office that afternoon, when they prayed and asked Jesus into their hearts, at that moment, God declared them righteous. You are right with me. You are clean and righteous with me. So that is a legal definition of righteousness. But beyond that, there's a moral definition that talks about how we behave righteously. That it's our character, that we live in such a way that it pleases God. And then even socially, it's a way that we act and live, that we show the character of God to others. In fact, the Bible, if you read over in 1 John, it says that we're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We are supposed to live righteous lives as we seek the kingdom of God. And as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, It's kind of what I prayed for Ty. It's kind of what I pray for myself every Sunday, is the prayer of John the Baptist. It ought to be every one of our prayers, that we must decrease and he must increase. That ought to be our testimony every day of our lives, that it's less of us and more of him. So that's what righteousness is. But it's not easy, because we are the product of what we eat. That's true physically. You are looking at a steady donut of honey buns and Krispy Kreme. We are what we eat. That's also true spiritually, because too often we focus on the things that the world has for us. I think I've said here, I remember hearing it years ago, that the world likes to focus on four different things: fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. The world will tell you, you get those things going, you're going to be happy. And too often, we allow that to be our diet. I've got to go to work. I've got to make more money. I've got to have more stuff. You know, what's the old thing? He who dies with the most toys. They used to say, he who dies with the most toys wins. But then somebody corrected and said, he who dies with the most toys still dies. But sometimes we focus so on fortune that that's what we want. We've got to build. Retirement's coming faster than I can put money away in the bank. I've got to have more stuff. I've got to accumulate my wealth. Fortune, fame. We all want our 15 minutes. We want to have that 15 minutes of fame. And fortune, fame, power. If I can just have a little more control, if I can just weasel and worm my way so that people listen to what I say, or pleasure. And that's truly the one that our generation, our culture seems to focus on, is that if it feels good, do it. But that's not what God calls us to do. We need the righteousness of God to feed our souls, just like we need food to feed our flesh. And unfortunately, something I read this week said that there's a famine in the church and in the lives of people who call themselves Christians. There's a famine because we don't focus on the things of God in too many churches. And we think that going to church makes us a Christian, that attending a discipleship class makes us a disciple, but they don't. The thing that determines whether or not we are a disciple is who's in control, is the Holy Spirit, the one that's in control of our lives. Galatians 5:25, just after the fruit of the Spirit, it says the Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. He's the one who has to be in control. And so as we think about how we need to develop an appetite for God and as the Almighty, I will tell you, have you ever heard somebody say, never trust a skinny cook? I would tell you never trust a fellow like me to give you diet advice. But let me give you some diet advice this morning. For our spiritual diet, this is some good advice, some biblical advice on what our diet should be. If we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, the first thing that I want to tell you is you need to watch what you eat. That's pretty good diet advice, isn't it? Watch what you eat. Y'all know what the largest food consumption day of the year in the United States is? Thanksgiving, coming up. That's the largest food consumption day of the year. Do you know what the second largest food consumption day of the year is? The Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the second largest food consumption day of the year. Let me give you some statistics from last year's Super Bowl. There were 4 million pounds of popcorn eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. There were 9 million pounds of tortilla chips eaten on Super Bowl Sunday, one day. There were 12 million pounds of potato chips eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. This is an amazing number, but part of it came out of our house. There were 13 million pounds of guacamole dip eaten. We are what we eat. That matter continues into God's word. We have to watch what we eat. The foundation of watching what we eat is God's word. I have said it before. One of these days, and I hope it's not for a very, very long time, I'm not going to be your pastor. And whenever that time comes, if you ever, I just saw the pastor search committee just broke out in a cold sweat about me even saying that. What are you saying? I'm saying I'm not going anywhere for a very long time. And I told them they would not be able to afford to tell me to go away because I'm not moving. Just saying. But if there's ever somebody who stands in this pulpit who doesn't say, this is God's word, this is going to be the basis and the foundation for our lives, for our ministry, for everything that we do, this is what we believe, you need to move on. This is God's word. And as we think about watching what we eat, we need to have a steady diet of God's word as a church, but as individual Christians. This is what we need to be believing in. God expresses his love to us through the word, and the Bible is his revelation. It has the ability to transform lives through salvation in a way that nothing else does. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that God's word is quick and powerful, quick and living, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to rightly divide the soul and the spirit. God uses his word. It divides the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. In other words, God's word is like a spiritual scalpel that changes us and makes us more and more like Jesus. Hebrews 5:12-14 says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature. In other words, we need to be growing more and more in our knowledge of God's word, and we need to make that such a part of our life. John Piper has this quote, and I think it's a great one. He says, the hunger and thirst of your life that can't be satisfied by anything in this world is the constant beckoning of God to remember that we were made for another world. We were made for God. So our hungers and thirst are never going to be truly satisfied by anything other than God. He goes on to say, the weakness of our hunger for God isn't because he's unsavory, but rather because we keep ourselves stuffed with other things. Watch what you eat. Have you ever had a meal waiting, but you're snacking the whole time before the meal comes? You know, this is the point at which I debate. How much do you tell of your personal stuff? When we gather, Christy's mama is the best cook I know. She is the best cook. She does a wonderful job. But before we get to the meal, she has shrimp and dips and all those things. So that when she brings out the main meal, it's like, I'm good. And it's true whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, there's always way more food. And before we ever get to the most satisfying, most delicious thing, I'm just like, oh no, I'm good. Well, we need to watch what we eat spiritually, because we never reach the point of being hungry or thirsty for righteousness, because we're filling up on spiritual junk food. We fill up on stuff that comes short of making us want to be more like Jesus. Maybe it's time for us to admit that we're junk food addicts spiritually. We've been ingesting things that feel good at first, but they leave us disappointed. Maybe it's worldliness or whatever it might be. But we need to focus on what God wants for us. We need to stop munching on material things in the hopes that they will fill us up. All right, my next diet advice is not just watch what you eat, but watch your portion size. Watch your portion size. I have a friend here in the church. She and I have become Weight Watcher failure buddies. And we had that discussion on occasion. She started Weight Watchers with a friend of hers, and they were going to encourage one another. And well, never mind. I need to quit sharing somebody else's testimony. We'll just say she was less than successful as her friend was. I know that feeling. What Weight Watchers tells you, though, is portion size. You need to watch how much you eat. And that's true. We improve our diet by watching and weighing the portion, making sure we do it. But we need to focus on God's Word is our primary diet, and make sure that we are spending time with it every day. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Here's the good part. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, that he may observe to do all that's written therein." So as we do that, he meditates day and night. If we starve ourselves spiritually by refusing to spend time in God's Word, sometimes we can bring on a spiritual famine. What I mean by that is, if you've ever tried to lose weight by saying, "I'm going to just quit eating," that doesn't last very long. It doesn't last very long if we say, I'm just going to quit eating. That's how I'm going to lose all my weight. Well, what happens is you blow the diet, and then you go back and you overeat and overindulge. It's just as harmful to a diet to undereat as it is to overeat. And in terms of spiritual things, we need to focus on what God has to do for us. Listen to this passage in Amos. Amos chapter 8. You can just listen to it. Amos chapter 8. I thought I had it marked, so I'll read it out of my notes. Amos chapter 8. Verse 11 and 12 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." God said, the time's coming when you want to hear from God, and you're not going to do it. There's going to be a famine. And what I have heard over and over is sometimes God allows spiritual famine to cause us to reach that point that we are hungry for Him again. If we have neglected Him, we have not followed Him, He will allow spiritual famine in our lives so that we say, "God, I need You. I need to be like that verse in Psalm 46, I believe it is. It says, as the deer panteth for the water, my soul longeth after thee." I have a passion for spending time. So we have to watch our portion control, because otherwise we can wind up in a time of famine, because God can use that to provoke our hunger back for Him. And then the last thing that I would say is one word for dieting. You don't hear this with dieting much, but enjoy. that verse that I just shared, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longeth after you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? God tells us that we will be filled. God tells us that we will be filled. Psalm 63, listen to this passage. Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1, says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Doesn't that sound like just a blessing? When you reach the point of hunger, it makes you appreciate the food. It makes you appreciate the water. I told you that little story about my time down in Belize. That nasty river water was the best tasting water I'd ever had in my life because I was thirsty. Verse 2 of Psalm 63 says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. God wants us to enjoy our time with him. Being hungry is not just enough. In order to experience that, to know God's heart, we have to be starving. When the prodigal son was hungry, do you remember what he tried to eat? When he was hungry, he tried to eat the husk that the pigs didn't want. He was working there for a pig farmer, which for a Jewish boy was not a good thing. But when he was hungry, he tried to eat the husk that the pigs had. Then he rounded a corner where he was starving. When he was starving, what did he want? I'm going back to Daddy. Sometimes we need to reach a point where we are spiritually starving. And we're saying, I'm tired of these other things that are not filling my hunger. I've got to go back to my Father. God wants us, and he wants us to enjoy our time with him. We have to also eat every day. You know, even on Thanksgiving, even on Super Bowl Sunday, when you've eaten 12 million pounds of guacamole, you get hungry the next day. You may say, I am never going to eat again, but you're going to want to eat again. Spiritually, we need to be spending time with him every single day. We need to be fellowshipping with him, learning from him, and letting him fill us with righteousness. And then the third point I want to make here is, what is the thing that comes next? What is God's promise? He says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, here's what's going to happen. You will be filled. Now, to be filled, originally the meaning of the term in the Greek was a term that meant you were filled, an animal was filled to the point that it could no longer stand another bite. It was filled to the point that it just didn't want anything else. God says, blessed are those. Blessed are you and me when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. So what does it mean to be filled? I heard an illustration one time. I think it was a very good one. I should have brought this stuff in here and done it. But there was a fellow who was teaching a college class in a Christian university. And he said, God's word says that you and I are supposed to be filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be filled by following him, filled with righteousness. So let me illustrate what that looks like. And he had a big glass pickle jar. Y'all seen the big jars, that, like pickle jars in an old store? He had a big jar like that. He said, I want to fill this jar. And he took it and he put good sized rocks in the jar. And he said, does this jar look full to you? And of course the college students said, yeah, looks like you got a full jar. He said, well, hang on a second. And so he pulled out a bucket from underneath his table of pea gravel, small rocks, and he filled it up to the top so that the top of the jar was all the way filled with pea gravel. And he said, now, does this jar look full? And they said, well, yeah, you got a full jar now. He said, hang on a second. Reached under his table and he got a bucket of sand. and poured the sand in, and the sand filled the cracks between the rocks and the pea gravel so that it was filled up to the top. And the professor said, "Do you think this jar is full now?" And they said, "Well, we thought so." He said, "Just a minute." And he reached under and he got a pitcher of water. And he was able to pour the entire pitcher of water into that jar, which filled the gaps between the sand and the rocks and the pebbles. When God says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," he's wanting to fill every one of our gaps, for they shall be filled. So I guess what I would say is, what is it in our lives? What are the gaps that God wants to fill in your life and in my life that we have said, "I'm full, I can't stand anymore"? And he said, no, I've got some filling for you to do. It comes back to that promise again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. By way of a bottom line, let me just draw your attention to a couple of things. The first thing is, let me look on the screen because I closed my notes. How hungry or thirsty am I today? Have we filled up on the stuff? Have we filled up on the junk food so that we're really not hungry or thirsty for God's truth at all? How hungry or thirsty am I today? Next, let me ask, what is it that's driving my appetite? Have I allowed the world's focus to get in there to the point that I'm focused on fortune, fame, power, and pleasure? I'm looking at the stuff around me. I'm so busy caught up in sports or other things that I'm not hungry for God's word and for righteousness. And then finally, I'd say, in what ways have I allowed God to satisfy me, to fill me? How has God done that? And if I haven't, how am I going to? This would be my "what difference does it make" question. If I haven't allowed God to satisfy me and to fill me with righteousness, how am I going to start? How am I going to invite Him to come in and fill me to the point that there is no room for anything else? All right. We're going to have a hymn of invitation in just a moment. We'll have a word of prayer. I'll invite you to stand. Whatever God may have laid on your heart this morning, I'd invite you to come. If you wanted to come and kneel at the altar, maybe there's some things that you have said, "I have allowed to replace God's righteousness hunger in my life." You can deal with that either at the altar or right where you are. You may say, "I want to come be a part of this church. I'm excited about what God's doing here, and I want to get in on it." We want you to be a part of our church family. And like we said recently, we had some folks, and I just kind of said, you may have been attending here long enough that people would be shocked to find out you're not a member. We'd love to have you come, and I'd tell you welcome home this morning if you'd like to say, "This is where I want to be officially a member." Or maybe you might be here this morning and say, "I have never thirsted or hungered for righteousness, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to baptize me, and I want everybody to know that I'm a follower of Him." We can do that with you this morning as well. So let me pray, then we'll stand up for our hymn of invitation. Father, thank you, Lord, that you have built us in such a way that our appetite for physical food lets us know when we're hungry. Father, in the same way you have built us so that our appetite for righteousness drives our relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would help us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord. And then I pray that you would help us, Lord, to allow you to fulfill that promise you made. They shall be filled. So, Lord, we give this invitation to you these next few minutes and pray for your will to be done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?